Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome back to another edition of Building Your Business right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I'm your host, Tara Troy, and my guest today is Todd Sanford. We're going to be talking today about Real Coaching, which is an acronym which we're going to be discovering all about. He is a firefighter, retired firefighter. He once fell through an attic and landed on his head. So I think that may have put a kibosh to the firefighting because he hurt 7 vertebrae and fractured his neck. So a little hard to go running up and down those stairs with the weight that you need to do after you've done that. The doctor said there was no medical reason that he survived the fall, but he's always known that God had a bigger plan for him in his life. And retiring from the fire department, he became a certified financial coach through the Dave Ramsey organization and focuses on helping people overcome the stress of dealing with the financial situations. He has now completed another coaching certification program through Kingdom Business Academy and Small Business Consultant. And he loves to help small businesses grow to levels that they never thought possible by focusing on their employees' health and well-being. His belief that no business should ever reach its true potential until all the employees are satisfied and happy with their own personal life. Then and only then can you truly grow your business levels that were never dreamed of. I am so with you on that. You know, invest in the human aspect, right? You always say it's people, planet before profit, right? The profit will come if you look after the people and the planet's resources. But if you don't, then why should people give you their all? Why should they be loyal to you, right? When they're happy and they're happy to come to work and they feel a sense of pride, I love my job, I love what I'm contributing to, then they're going to give it their all. So I really love the fact, put the time in on the people that are working for you, including yourself, right? Welcome to the show, Todd. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so glad to be here, man. Thank you so much. And you're exactly right on that. You know, whenever people hire coaches or they hire advisors, consultants that come in, first thing they want to do is say, I want to look at your bottom line. I want to see where your expenses are. I want to see where you're making your money. What's going on? And they come in and they look at it from a business perspective. But as you're exactly right, I broke my neck. I was actually paralyzed, not breathing when I hit the ground.
Wow.
My guys packaged me up. They rushed me to the hospital where they took part of my hip bone and a bunch of metal and a bunch of screws, and they put my neck back together. I actually walked out of that hospital 4 days after my accident, and it was Thanksgiving of 2015. Never been so thankful in my entire life.
Four days.
When we talk about a miracle, my spine was just 90 degrees. And we've had 5-6 surgeons look at our MRI, and they've all said, the very best case scenario, two of them said, you should be paralyzed from your neck down, breathing out of your neck through a straw, you know, and the rest said, you should be dead. But I've always known that God had something bigger planned for me. Mm-hmm. And what happened was after that, you're exactly right, it ended my firefighting career. Mm-hmm. So that was the last fire I ever fought. But it gave me an opportunity. It took me 6 months to recover from that accident. And then once I did go back to the fire department, I became a training officer. Then I promoted up to the operations fire chief, which was the number two fire chief. I had 175 employees. And what I started finding out was I dealt with all the emergencies, but I also dealt with all the personnel. And so what I started finding out was when we would have complaints from citizens about our personnel not being kind enough or not doing what the citizens thought they should. Then I'd call them into my office and I start working with them. And what I was finding out was it really wasn't the fire department. They were having issues at home. It was either financial issues or they were having marital issues or something was wrong with their kids. And so what this started, you know, just over and over and over. And I was the first fire chief to ever have an open door policy where people could just come in and talk to me. And so what I found out was they were dying just to talk to somebody. Of course, I was older. These were all younger firemen. They were coming in and talking to me just about life. And it was like I was a mentor or older brother or a father to some. Some were so young. And so when I left the fire department, I took over my wife's family ranch. We lost my father-in-law to Lou Gehrig's disease, and my brother-in-law had brain cancer and passed away. And I didn't want anybody to come in and take the ranch over. We had had that. My wife's family had had it for 100 years. So I took that ranch over. But one day I'm driving through the pasture and I'm listening to Ed Milette on a podcast. And Ed talks about what keeps him going. And if you ever listen to Ed, he's a billionaire and he does amazing things. But he says, what drives me every single day is that I believe when I was born, God made an image of me, of what he expected of me. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm terrified to die someday and look and meet that image. And I haven't, you know, lived up to what God planned for me. I literally stopped my pickup in the middle of the pasture, put it in park, because I knew what I was doing, ranching. Man, I was having the time of my life. That's what I dreamed my whole life of doing. But at the age of 56, I realized, dude, you're not through living yet. It's not about you. What can you do to go out there and help other people and change the world? And that day, I came home that night and we started looking. And so I've become a coach. I've become a speaker. I'm a consultant for small businesses, and we're making a difference. And it's not, you know, what the great thing about being retired and having a ranch, man, it's not about the money. Right. It's about truly helping people and change people's lives.
You already were doing that, though. I mean, you were already coaching, you know, as a chief. When they were coming through that revolving door, you were already there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right? You were already gathering. It gave me all the tools that I'm using now. Exactly. Everything I learned. And that's why I say, when I walked out of that hospital and they called me a walking miracle, that is so true. And I knew right then when I was working with those firemen, when I walked out of there, I was actually going to be a counselor because I knew that's where God was calling me to help people. Then I found out you had to do all this, you know, work behind the scenes and do 200-300 hours underneath another counselor. And I'd worked for enough people in my life. I wanted to work for myself. So I wasn't going to do that. So I started looking at what I could do. And, you know, you hear so many people these days go, oh, there's so many coaches out there that, you know, coaches they're bull. They don't really help. They're just, and I'm sure that's true. It's like every single profession in the world. You have bad people and you have good people.
Yes.
And I take great pride, and I have my whole life. I served the community for 35 years as a firefighter paramedic. So I know what it means to serve. And as a coach, if you get a coach or if you have a coach and they don't listen more than they talk, then you've got a bad coach, because a coach should be listening to you. They should be focusing on you. And that's why I love going into small businesses, because I will tell their owners, you know, if you want me to look at your bottom line, where your expenses are, where your income's coming in, I'll do that. But my number one priority will always be your employees, because if we can fix your employees, what's broken at home, what's broken inside of them, when they come to work, man, you'll have them. They will be 100% focused on helping you. And then your business will take off. Plus, by me going in and focusing on those employees, they see that their owner actually cares about them and their well-being. And that's what we all want. That's what everybody wants in life. They just want to know that their spouse cares about them, that your kids care about you, that your employer cares. When we were, when I was fire chief, I made a point. I couldn't give them a pay raise. We worked for a city. We were, mm-hmm. we were severely underpaid, but I made sure they knew that they were safe. I gave them the best equipment. I made sure they had the best training, and I made sure that they knew when they responded to an accident or something, that their lives were the number one priority, because I knew if they got hurt, we couldn't save anybody else. So exactly. we always made them a priority. And once we started doing that, man, our department just flourished, and we did things that nobody thought we could ever do. And that's what we're doing in our coaching business. We're coaching yeah. people, and we're lifting them up, and we're showing them that, man, you can do amazing things. You can do great things in your life.
The whole point is, especially firefighter, paramedic, cop, nurse, anybody that's on the front lines, they're going to see some horrific things, and they go into their professionalism because that's what they're here to do. But that what they've seen, or the pain in which they've seen, it's not just the person in a piece, people, maybe family members with them. And it's somewhere along the line, that's going to start eating them up. Mm-hmm. Right. And start magnifying, you know, any other issues that are going on. I mean, we see it with veterans, anybody veteran, anybody of service. It catches up with them. And if we don't give them support along the way, if we don't allow them to decompress along the way and just release, you know, it's this, my dad died at 45 and he was a fighter pilot in the war, and it was suck it up, right? Think of England, lift up your chin. And it ate at him and caused a heart attack. And I think what we need to do in any line of business, but especially on the front lines there, is allow them that open door that you can just come in and have a damn good cry if you want. Yeah. There is no judgment here. There's no fear of weakness here. There is no reprimanding here. There's just open arms and support. And I think, as you said, anybody, even in business, they have days where they come to work, but they're worrying about something going on at home, all right? Or they're not feeling well and they don't have medical or this or that. There's always something. If we have that open door as a boss and say, look, you are part of the team, right? And you know, my son has a restaurant, a small restaurant. He just went away for a pre-wedding honeymoon, because having a restaurant, you can't go on honeymoon in August, right? So they did it early. And so that entire time he was away, it was all of the staff would get the profits for that week. So instead of it going to the business or the boss or anything, it went and divvied up amongst their staff. And he does that every year. Plus, he throws some parties and everything else. People leave big restaurants to come and work with him because they feel seen and heard. And they can put input on what needs to change, or a recipe, or this or that. And that's what he wants, a village, a team. And I think when you have a team where they feel validated, seen, heard, that they can contribute whatever, even if it's a silly idea, you never know what comes out of a silly idea, right? But feels free to be able to input. Now you're going to have a business that vibrationally grows. You can walk into that business and you feel it immediately, right? You can feel when you've got people that are disgruntled and they don't want to serve you, and all they want is the 5 o'clock to come around. Or you can feel a business where they really do enjoy what they're doing. Right? Oh, they exactly. love what they're doing. And it's everybody's looking for a meaningful purpose. I don't care if yes. you're a janitor or a CEO. The janitor sets the stage for the CEO. If you walk into that building and it's dirty and it's tardy and sticky buttons, right, you immediately, the whole CEO thing goes down, the approval. But when he's set the stage, everything's clean and pristine, right? It sets the stage. So everybody is important, and everybody should be respected so along the way. Then you've got a business that will thrive.
You know, that's funny that you bring up the janitor, because my grandfather was the biggest farmer in one of the counties here in Texas. And the Great Depression and the drought hit, and he lost everything. He went from being the biggest employer of the county to losing everything, his land, his equipment, everything. And he became the janitor at the local small high school. Mm-hmm. And my father always was embarrassed that his dad had done that. And my grandfather taught me everything. He taught me how to shoot a gun, how to fish, how to drive a pickup. I love that man. And I always wanted to be like that man. And I've always looked at it like he did what he had to do to take care of his family in some really rough times. He took his pride and he forgot about his pride to do what he had to do. Now, it always bothered my father to the sense where my father ended up becoming an alcoholic. And he ended up dying probably poor with less, without a family than my grandfather did. So where is the, you know, where's the true value? Where's the value? Where's the money? You know, who died a rich man and who died a poor man in that case? And so that's why I've lived the life I live and why I want to help other people, because you're exactly right. When you walk in, I had a real estate client the other day that asked me about, she had had a realtor that had not got any business for 3 months, hadn't done nothing. And so she said, so what would you tell them if you came in and coached them whenever, you know, they haven't done anything for 3 months? And I said, well, I wouldn't talk to them about that. Yes. I would find out what's going on in their life.
What's the blockage?
Because either they're obviously procrastinating getting clients and doing their job. And procrastination is a mindset. There's something that they don't feel comfortable. There's something that's eating at them. You know, either they don't feel comfortable doing, you know, getting business, or there's something wrong at home. And so I told her, I said, I would go in and I'd sit down and I'd listen to them for 30 minutes and let them tell me what's wrong. Exactly. You know, is this not a job that you want to do, or do you not know how to do it, or you just don't feel comfortable, or are you having a, you know, marital problems at home? Is your kid in trouble? There's something there. Has nothing to do with they don't want to be successful. Has 100% to do with there's something wrong in their life that they need somebody to help them get out of it. And that's what I do. When you're not meeting your full potential, that's when I come in. I come in and I help you meet your full potential. We always, everybody needs a cheerleader. Yes. Everybody needs somebody to hold them accountable and to believe in them. And that's what I do. And I love people. My whole life, I almost died 3 times in the fire service. And it was all 3 times. 2 times I was in a house trying to save the people's home. The third time I was diving for a dead body because I wanted to give the family closure of a little girl that had been killed. And all 3 times, it was because I wanted to help give somebody else, you know, their life back or their closure or whatever the case might be. And that's all we need. Everybody's looking for somebody to step in and be their advocate, be their friend, be their cheerleader. And,
be part of the village.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I have very much a village mentality that, you know, the village is only as strong as everybody's contribution. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what you're contributing, big or small. Some people have more responsibility and they can take it. And some people just want to plod along, but they're just as important. But, you know, we need to get back to the village mentality instead of me, myself and I. And, you know, when you look at finances, well, finance, we all need money, you know, roof over our head, food in our stomach. But I think that when people look at money as I need to be rich, no, you need to be enriched. And enriched is when a life is so well shared, so, and your contribution is so beneficial to others, it enriches your life. And then the money will come. And of course, if you do make a lot of money, how are you going to seed those opportunities for other people along the way?
Exactly.
So, you know, for me, I've had a few chats along the line of my life where, you know, yes, I would love to make more money. Money is always a big question mark for me, but I feel incredibly enriched and abundant for the work that I do. When we step into our meaningful purpose, and we will get up with COVID, -3, doesn't matter what it is, and we'll still do it, right? Then you know that passion and that conviction of what you found your calling, Right, then you will get out there and do it. We're all entitled to be paid and we're all entitled to make money out of that. But don't let your business be money driven. Let it be service driven.
Exactly. Exactly. Service, it's got to be. You've
Yes.
got to want to serve others. And you know what I found out is the more you give with your heart, the more
Yes.
you serve, the more you're going to get. And I believe that with my whole life, my whole heart, that the more that you will, if you're working to help others and your whole goal is to take care of other people, the money's going to come. The
Yes.
I we have been so blessed. You know, one of my passions is women that are single mothers that are having a hard time. Those are the ones I love helping with their finances and help them, you know, just get back on their feet. Because my mother was basically a single mother because my dad was an alcoholic. My sister was a single mother. So I've watched two of the women that meant the world to me struggle because they were all alone trying to raise kids with no help. And then at the other spectrum, just like I was saying about my grandfather, I love helping men because in today's society, everybody says, don't be a masculine man. Don't be a man. You know, you need to be, you just need to sit over in the corner and not be a man. And there's nothing more that is so wrong. We need to be men. We need to lead our families. We need to quit leaving our families and stay in our families. And but that doesn't mean what so many people try to make it mean. They try to make it like men are pushing everybody down. Absolutely not. Our goals as husbands and fathers is to put our wives and our children on our hands and lift them up and raise them above us where they can do great things and we support them. And then, you know, there's
Well,
so many men.
we need more men like that because
Yes.
misogyny is still very much alive. And believe me, 12 years of doing this and the amount of shows I've done, the amount of women that have been victimized by men is quite abundant.
Yes.
But I think what it is that men are not showing other men how to be a man and honor a woman.
Exactly,
It's not lord
and that's
over her.
exactly
It's
what I
not
mean by
owning her.
being
It's not controlling her. It's
exactly.
honor her. You are in a partnership. Honor
Yes.
her contribution and your contribution. Each role is going to be different, all right? And some roles are going to get swapped, but it's about honoring and not controlling. And what we've seen too much of, and I hope you clone yourself or you get out there and you teach men to be like you, because unfortunately, there are so many men that are insecure in themselves that this lording over or controlling other people, women, and everybody else around them boosts their ego because they're feeling insecure. Right, and they haven't been
And
taught along the line.
they truly, a lot of men, I'm not saying all men, some men's just evil. There's just evil in the world. Now,
And it's those lost souls that haven't been shown the proper way,
yes.
right?
But there are so many men that I listen to that I get on these groups and just look at how they're hurting. That's how I know how much men are hurting because I go on these sites and I listen to them. And then how I know there's evil men because I watch evil men make fun of them. And then I watch good men like me that's married that's try to help them and try to build them up, these younger. But what I found out is so many men didn't have a dad. And I can understand this. My dad was he was a wonderful man. He loved us, but when he drank, which was about 90% of my life, he drank, he was a very mean man. And it was bad, but I'm not here to talk about that. But I did not have an example of what a really good father is. I did not have an example of what a good husband was. I had an example of what bad was, but still, I didn't know how to be a good husband. I didn't know how to be a good father. So I've had to learn that on my own, and I made a lot of mistakes. I was a lot better father than I was a husband. And I'm still, I've been with the same woman. You'll get a kick out of this. Our first date, we were 6 years old. Our older sisters took us to the drive-in movie theater. They threw us in the back seat when they went and chased high school boys. And I ended up marrying that little 6-year-old girl that was in the back seat. And we've been married over 31 years now.
Wonderful.
But, and it's still, it's a work in progress every day. But
Yes.
you choose to honor a woman. You choose
Yes. To honor
to take
yourself.
care of your kids,
Yes.
or you choose to put yourself above them. And that's what I was saying. Men need to lead. No, we lead from the back,
Yeah.
lifting them up. But if something happens, by golly, we put them behind us and we protect them at
Yeah.
all costs. That's what a real man does. And
Yeah.
I think that's what our country needs is more men to step up. And it's real frustrating because I originally became a men's coach and I couldn't get any clients because men won't reach out for help. And
No,
so
and
that's when I
this yeah.
trans
Yeah, that's why men need to realize that it is not a weakness to ask for help. The same
No.
thing with your revolving door as the fire chief, having people come in, it was a bad one today. All right? Or
Yeah.
I'm really shaken up by this one. Or something's going on at home, or I just need a damn good cry or a hug. All right? This is actually strength, men. This is strength.
Yes.
Because
Yes.
if we don't feel safe enough to be vulnerable, then we're always on guard. Right? And being on guard blocks you off from love, from compassion, from passion, and we push it away, and then we find ourselves isolated. And then in that isolation, we start feeling victimized, and then we start going into defense. Right? So it is finding your tribe where you feel safe enough to be yourself. And if that tribe doesn't honor that, then it's perfectly right to leave that tribe and move on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And that's a great point right there too. That's one of the things I teach in my coaching practice is that if you have people in your life that's bringing you down,
Yep.
get them out of your life. Now, if it's a close family member, that's a little harder, but distance yourself from them. But if it's a friend or a coworker or somebody that is not blood and they're bringing you down, get them out of your life. Surround yourself with people that believe in you, that want to see you do great things. Do not surround yourself with people that's jealous of you or
Yeah.
that doesn't believe in you, that's going to keep you down. Because if you do, man, you are missing the boat. Because I believe, I don't care what you grew up in. I had to quit college because we lost our home and I had to go home and do construction work. I managed to work for the lowest paid fire department in the great state of Texas. My wife was a school teacher in the lowest paid school district in the great state of Texas. We were able to put our three kids through the most expensive colleges in Texas. We were able to build a small little fortune by living and working and doing what was right because of what I'd seen. So there is nobody in that in this world that can't do great things. Yes, you might have everything against you. But I'm telling you right now, if you get the right people on your side, maybe you get the right coach, maybe you get the right pastor, maybe you get somebody that believes in you, that can lift you up, you can do anything.
Yeah.
I graduated from college because I had to quit college. I graduated at 40 years old. I am 56 years old right now, and I'm going through a dual degree right now. I'm fixing to get my master's. You can do anything if you work hard enough. I don't care. And I know there's a lot of people out there going, the world's against me. Well, the world is against you. But if you're for yourself, if you believe in yourself and you surround yourself with great people, man, I believe with all my heart that you can be great.
I
Now, I'm not going to say everybody's going to be millionaires or billionaires,
no. Again,
but
back
you
to the
can do great
enrichment, right?
things in your life.
Exactly. I was 57 when I started this journey of podcasting. I am now 69. And it is all the things I've done in my life, everything led up to this now, doing what I'm doing now. And of course, we've gone out into books, like our Forgotten Children book, which is all about raising awareness. So it's not just podcasts anymore, it's books that enlighten it anymore, expand it out even more. And the whole thing is, we're not too old. We're still
No.
capable, we're still able. In fact, actually, when you turn that certain clock, You've done what was expected of you. You know, I raised three children. They're all doing well. They're all raising their own. They're all doing their own thing now. And then it was my self-discovery of who am I now? What am I here to contribute? And I went down a roller coaster ride for a while until this was presented. And then it was finally, right. And now I know this is where I'm meant to be, doing what I'm meant to be doing. And I get up every day looking forward to doing it. And I know that in its own small way, and that's the thing we don't need to measure is how big, how many followers, how many this, how many that. When people say to me, how many people listen to your shows? And I go, all those that are ready to hear it. Right? It's listen, learn, and apply. So those that are hearing it, we're ready to hear some aspect of it. They get one thing out of it. Hallelujah. If they get more out of it, fantastic. Right? We put it out there to encourage, to enlighten, to support, to guide, right? But what people do with it is up to them. That's their free will. But I believe that inspiration begets invitation. And when they are inspired by you, by what you've done, what you've accomplished, what you've been up against, and what you decided, the choice that you made to make that leads you where you are today, well, that inspiration becomes invitation. And people start looking at it, maybe I can do it too, right? And that's the thing is that's all we can do. That I feel so many people right now are what we call down in the dumps. We have more depression, more anxiety, more fear than we've ever had before. And you know, there's a whole load of fear shoot going up and flinging around, and it's just sensationalism. And you know, let's face it, if the human powers that be keep you in fear, they keep you in control. Now we can make that choice not to be fearful, but to be proactive. I have a different approach to fear. There's common sense fear. You know, don't put your hand in the grinder, right? Don't put it in the fire. Don't walk in front of the bus. If you take common sense fear with that fear of the unknown, and instead of saying fear of the unknown, but excitement of the unknown, and fear travels with you, that common sense fear will stop you from being harmed, but it allows you to explore and see what is it you don't know? What is it for you? We've all got a path before us. People on the sidelines can hand us the water, the map, the tools, the skills, the cheerleading, but we've got to walk it. And so if we're miserable, it is up to us. It is up to us to change it. If we're in a job we don't like, it's up to us to change it. If we have finances that aren't working, it's up to us to change it. And once you've decided to change it, then it is how and who can help me.
You know, so many people out there today, what they don't realize, and you're exactly right on the depression and the fear and the, you know, it's crazy how bad that is now, and
Yes.
how it here in the United States, how people are divided and really just all over the country. But you know what I live, my mantra, what I live by, and I've lived like this all my life. And I did it in the fire department as a paramedic and as a fireman. And I'd tell myself, Todd, if you could save one person in your entire career, and that one person goes on and has a family, you've saved generations. And
Yes.
I do the same thing in my coaching and when I'm working with people. And if I can save one person, or I can help one person
Save
achieve
themselves.
their dreams,
Yes.
then it changes generations. It
Ripple
changes
effect.
their wives, their husbands, their kids, and then their grandkids. You know, if we can get one person out of poverty and get their finances figured out, then who knows where they can go? One of my first clients was a gentleman that he had a record. He had been in the prison, and we would spend, he wasn't making a lot of money. And bottom line was, I'd spend about 15 minutes on his finances, and there wasn't anything else to talk about as far as the finances. But he never had a father. And so I started coaching him 15 minutes on his finances. And then I'd follow up, make sure he was doing what we had talked about. But then we started talking about what it meant to be a dad, and he had three kids. And what did it mean to spend time with them and raise them right and do this? And one day I told him, I said, "Do you realize how proud I am of you?" And this is a big guy. He's been through a lot. He grew up on the streets by himself, and he didn't tear up, but I knew what I'd said affected him. And he just, I said, what's wrong? He goes, nobody's ever told me that they were proud of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to check up on the guy. I hadn't talked to him lately, but I know when we quit our coaching program that he believed in himself more than ever.
Yes.
He had gone and asked his boss for a pay raise and got it. He had done things and he was preparing for his kids and he was doing things that he had never done. And I hope that I had a tiny little part in building him up
To
where
believe.
he's going to take care of his kids.
Yeah.
And then those kids are going to be great fathers and stay out of trouble and do great things. And so that's what I mean by, if you can change one person's life, you don't just change one. You can change hundreds in the generations that come.
That is the point, is the ripple effect. You know, one of the problems we have is that, again, the reason for this book is that the system is still on old programming and new programming is coming into play all the time. And people carry old patterns, programming in our DNA, you know, from our parents and, you know, down the ancestral line. And then you've got the societal expectations of how many likes and how many this, how many that have you got? And unless you're not driving this, and if you don't live here, then, you know, what value are you? And we've placed the value in the wrong area. We've placed it on image and we haven't placed it on heart and soul, right? But
Exactly.
when people come from heart and soul, in a beautiful, spirited fashion, they know what they need to know when they need to know it, and they are authentic and they're real, and you know that it's coming from them. People say to me, "Who do you interview, Sarah?" And I say, "All those that come from the heart." Because I know when they come from the heart, they truly love what they're doing. And if they love what they're doing, that's going to resonate out, and then people are going to be more attached to what they're doing. Right? And it's very easy to talk, throw the words out there. I call them grandstanders. Right? But where's the passion behind it? Right? I'm hearing a mouth move, but I'm not hearing the heart pump. Right? So that's the thing, is that we need to ignite our hearts. We need to connect with our soul wisdom. We need our spirit to feel free to explore. And we need our minds to quieten down and tune in and know what we need to know through the wisdom, and then apply. Right? And so we need to be there for each other and stop worrying about all the static and the craziness around us. Go in from the inside out and allow your frequency and your vibration to slowly expand and encompass those that you care for within that fold, right?
You're exactly right. And that's, you mentioned it when we first started here about my program Real that I developed.
Yes.
And so Real, it's a digital course, but I also teach it, in depth in my coaching, but it stands for Reliable, Empowered, Authentic Leader. Because we have, people's words mean nothing anymore.
No.
And for me, I was raised by my granddad that if I shook a man's hand, that was it. That was it. That was your word. Your word meant everything. You got to be reliable. If you tell your kids you're going to be there, be there. If you're going to tell a client that you will be, do this for them, do it. That's what it means to be reliable. And then empowered. It's take that power back from the world. The world is telling you, do this, do that. It's okay if you do this. It's okay if you do that. No, empower yourself, because
Yes.
once you empower yourself and you rely on yourself and you're not relying on everybody else to take care of you, but you take care of yourself, then and only then can you empower others. And
Yes.
so if you're a parent, you need to empower yourself so you can empower your kids to grow up strong and self-sufficient. And then the main one for me is authentic. Man, that's, you gotta be an authentic person, because again, in today's society, everybody tells you, oh, be, and I'm I won't say I started to say a TV show, but be like them, you know, be, you got to dress like them, or like you said, you know, you got to have the car. Bull, you got to be authentic.
Yes.
And that's
be
one
you.
Thing
be
that,
you, be you, be you, you, be you. Yes.
That's what people, they crack me up because we go places and I speak, and we just got back from the Great American Speak Off and I was in the top 30. And people surround me and they talk to me. And I always say it's because I'm the only cowboy in the room. And I got a West Texas draw, so everybody wants to just listen to me. But when I start talking to people, they go, no, they want, people want to be around you because you're just, you're authentic.
You're
just
genuine.
You.
You're genuine.
Genuine.
Right? Yes.
And,
yes.
And I don't understand that because I do watch people. And in my coaching program, I'll bring this up. I go, you know, an inauthentic person will be the person that goes up to the banker or the lawyer or the boss or whatever, and they act like this. And boy, they're just whatever I can do for you, blah, blah, blah. And then they come back to their friends and they're themselves. They are authentic there. Man, that's an inauthentic person because an authentic person is the way they are everywhere you go.
All
it
they're
doesn't
doing
matter
is wearing
who
different
you're talking
hats,
to.
Just different That's hats, right. Whether it's business or friendship, but you know the core of the person is the person.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And then my final deal on real is leader. And we all got to be leaders. You know, people that think that we're not all leaders are completely wrong. You need to lead your family. You need to lead your family to God. You need to lead your family to your kids, to school. You need to make sure you teach them right. You need to lead whoever, lead your friends, lead your family, you know, whatever it takes. Don't be a follower. Get out there and go do it. It's scary. It's scary up front. In war, it's scary. You're going to take the first bullets. But to be a leader, you're empowered and you have a say in the game. And if you don't, you just sit back. And there's a lot of people that they're all right with that, just sitting back in life. But I'm not one of them, man. I want to be out there. I want to be the one changing the game. I want to be the one that's out there helping others achieve greatness. Because if you're just one of those that sits back and you don't take anything, you know, you don't take anything on yourself, you're not going to be the one helping others because you're barely getting by yourself. And I want to be the one that's out there just, I've always been that. My wife was the cheerleading sponsor and my daughter was a cheerleader. And what did I do? I went and got my bus driver's license so I could drive the cheer bus because I wanted to be part of that cheerleading squad and take them and support them and cheer them on. So that's what kind of guy I've always been. So I don't understand people that like to just sit back. So
I mean, there are people that are meant to be followers and not leaders, but we all have to take leadership in our own choices concerning our own lives.
In your own life, you have to lead.
In your own life,
you
have to be the leader.
Yes.
Now, you're maybe not born to lead others, but you must lead yourself. And, you know, you look at a country like America, like Canada, where I am in, South Africa, New Zealand, these are immigration countries. People came across from far away to an unknown country to, you know, how many settlers, you know, died from one thing or the other, in trying to find a new home and build a new life. Without them, where would we be? Yet we seem to have lost that sense of exploration, that sense of adventure, the sense of wonderment. And we're just waiting to download a new app and have it do it for us. And, you know, your life, you have to participate in your own life. You have to look in at who you are. Do not compare. Comparison is deadly. No. You are unique in yourself. Do not compete. Leave competition up to games. You're not competing with the Joneses, right?
Do
show yourself compassion. You can throw your own arms around yourself, right? Yeah. Do care about other people because that is part of that compassion being shared, right? Kindness, caring, compassion, consideration, respect. All leads to love. And when you step into that love, you're literally resonating on a higher frequency and you're vibrating that off to other people and they want to be in your vicinity. And like, okay, I love being a janitor. Great. Thank you. The schools would not function without you. The businesses would not function. The hospital, everything else. Thank you. Thank you for your tireless work because it is always ongoing. Same with a housewife, it's always ongoing, right? And let us appreciate each other for our own contributions and not compare. Well, I do more than you, or I make more than you, or I do this more than you. No. Stand tall in your chosen field. I've been in many fields. I've owned businesses. I branched off into things totally out of my comfort zone, right? But that's how we discover how far we can push, or whether we're adaptable, or whether it should or shouldn't. This, the whole thing is, let us explore and find out, right? But let's always keep our authenticity. We're in discovery of self through our entire lives. There's so much more you're going to discover about yourself as you move forward. I'm at 69. I've still got a lot more to discover about myself.
Well, right? And you hit it on the, you hit it right on the head. What you just said, all the things you just said, you've got to do it with yourself first.
Yes,
you've got
absolutely.
To love yourself
yes.
first. You've got to believe in yourself, because it all starts with you.
Absolutely.
And that's what I meant by being a leader,
yes.
is like men. You've got to believe in yourself, and then you've got to lead your family. That goes back to me saying, you know, what is it? 80% of the men in prison didn't have fathers. Yeah.
And 70% are foster children. So
yeah.
That just shows how we're letting those children down.
If they had fathers that stepped up and would lead, we wouldn't have that. And that's what I mean by leading. It's time that people start. Excuse me, I just knocked my computer. It's time for people to lead and step up, but they got to believe in themselves. You know,
absolutely.
I could have easily, I heard a joke the other day, or it wasn't a joke, but it was a saying. They interviewed two boys from an alcoholic dad, and they interviewed the first one, and they said, well, you're an alcoholic. Why are you an alcoholic after growing up in that house? Well, why wouldn't I be an alcoholic? I grew up with an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Then they interviewed the other brother that was a multimillionaire, successful person. And they said, how did you become this successful multimillionaire? You grew up in an alcoholic family. He goes, well, why wouldn't I? After growing up in that, I wanted to amount to something.
Yeah.
It's all perspective.
Yes.
On what your perspective is on life. So if you choose to love yourself, I don't care what kind of house you grew up in. If you choose to love yourself and change what dynamics that you grew up in, and you want to change that and be different, then you can. And that's exactly what I've done. Is I could have easily been an alcoholic. I could have easily ended up just like my dad, but I chose to do something totally different. And I got three amazing kids that have amazing jobs. I've got an amazing wife. We've got an amazing life. And I've chosen to go out there and share what I've learned over my long life to help people, because I just don't see enough people out there helping others. And
yeah.
Building them up, telling them you can do this.
Mm.
You know, I keep seeing the world saying, nah, you can't do that. You can't do that. Oh, you can do anything. I truly believe that.
We did not get where we are today with the technology that we have, with all the possibilities that are before us, by not trying, by not exploring, not investigating. If we don't like our lives, then we have to start going in and looking at, what is it I don't like about it? Am I repeating a pattern I didn't recognize, right? Why do I keep choosing the same? I mean, we see this over and over again, that people keep choosing the same partner. You know, divorce one, marry another, they're exactly the same. That's because of your projection, of your patterning,
mm-hmm.
right? We have to go in and recognize those patterns and realize, you know, this particular program is not working. On a computer, you would delete it and put a new program up. Why are we not doing it the same? Just because it has been doesn't mean it needs to be now. And you need to pour into yourself to, in that discovery of self-love, all the work that you need to do in order to discover how awesome you are. And I have a beautiful word that I came across a few years ago, flawsome. We've all got flaws. We've all got idiosyncrasies, right? But we could be awesome with those flaws. It's like taking a bowl and it's been broken, and we put it back together with self-love.
Yeah.
And now it can take as much love as possible without breaking, and let the cup run over, right? I don't know how many people I've interviewed that have been to jail, and all of them were people where fathers were an issue. right?
Yeah.
And they served their time, and they all said it was the best thing to happen to me because I finally had time to discover myself instead of living up to the criminality, right? And now today, what they're doing and whom they're serving because of it. Now I call that the cosmic 2x4, when you're not listening to the nudge, nudge, wink, wink, where people are trying to help you along the way, and on comes the cosmic
Give
two
you a
by
two by
four. Have you
four.
got my attention now,
I
right?
like it.
So we would like people not to get the 2x4, but sometimes that's what people need in order to come out of the ashes, a new
Yeah,
person.
I think you take you can let what is broken in your life break you, or you
Or
can
make
let
you.
what's broken in your life build you into
Yes,
something else.
yes,
And
yes.
I think all of us that have had brokenness in our lives, that have gone on to flourish with their lives, they have taken that brokenness and they've let that build on them and be stronger and make them bigger, better people. My dad, I've said this for years, that he was an alcoholic, but I have used that brokenness and all those,
Yes.
18, 20 years of really a rough life that I had to grow up through. I took all that to make me the man I am, so I could make my kids who they are and I could help other people. And if I was not born in that and had to go through that, I would not be the person I am. I would not be this passionate about helping other people, I don't think. I
Well,
think that
I think
has,
that is your stem and the core of who you are. And perhaps you followed it in the way that you have. You've been the leader that shows you care. You've been the person that's like, yes, it's not about the money, it's not about the job, it's about you. And everybody knows that when they're around you, that it's about them, that you truly care about them. So I think that is you. But how you do it is has come about, and the way you see it needing being done has come about because of the way you were brought up, right? And again, I've interviewed people who have had the most horrific things happen to them. Horrific. And yet, who they are today, one, they were willing to go through the healing process, right? They could talk about what happened to them today. As horrific as it is, the pain isn't attached to it anymore. Instead, they discover how courageous, how strong they've become, the abilities that they discovered about themselves, and what their meaningful purpose is, right? But you've got
You
to be
have to
willing to take
learn,
the journey.
you have to be able to forgive.
Yes.
You have to be able to forgive yourself, and you
Yes.
have to be able to forgive others for what they did to you. Because if you hang on to that anger will eat you alive and it will destroy you. And I was almost there at one point in my life, and I was able to give that anger and that forgiveness, and it changed who I was. One thing I wanted to hit on, you were talking about a while ago, is to your listeners, I don't care what you do, you may still fail. We were
Yes.
talking about, you were saying, if you're in a job that you don't like, go do something else. Well,
Yes.
if you go do something else, you may fail. But you
Or
know
just
what?
not succeed. I don't like the word failure. I feel that's
Okay,
giving up. I
you
call
may
it a
not
redirect.
succeed.
You may not
You may
succeed
not
there.
succeed the first time. But my point is, what I like to tell like clients that are selling, they're trying to sell something. The more no's you get, the closer you are to yes.
It's all a numbers
So the
game.
more times that you don't succeed, you're just one more step closer to succeeding. What did Ben Franklin say? I don't remember the number, but I didn't fail 9,000 times. I just found out.
Little bit of a freeze here for a moment. And
Your
Einstein with
goal to your dream.
Yeah, I mean Einstein, the 1,000 light bulbs, right? It's if you first do not succeed, try and try again. But the what we learn with when it doesn't work, you didn't fail. You just discovered what doesn't work. Now you keep
Exactly.
going trying until something does work. And I always say, please don't go into the exploration of life with a dictation. Go in with wonderment and allow, even surrender, right? Because the universe, God, universe, source, energy, whichever you wish to call it, is there as a compass to walk you forward. When you connect with your heart in truth and your spirit gets into action and your mind knows what it needs to know, it will put you on the right path for you to discover what you're meant to discover, whom you're meant to discover, what you're meant to do with this. It's that surrendering to the journey, not dictating it, because we're dictating it from a human programming. But when we put heart, soul, spirit together, along with the mind, now we actually have clarity and we know which way to go. So it isn't about the intellectualism or the knowledge. That knowledge is a database. When we choose the divine wisdom and see the knowledge through the divine wisdom's lens, now we actually see what it is that is going to benefit us in our knowledge in this moment, in this now, right?
Yeah. And I also, you know, I teach that right there in a mindset when I teach people. You know, people, you can have two types of a mindset. You can have a fixed mindset, which means, hey, whatever happens, happens. I'm not going to get any smarter. I'm not going to get a better job. I'm not going to be happier. I'm not ever, like you said, you know, somebody that finds the same spouse over and over and they keep failing. Well, I don't deserve to have somebody that treats me right. I don't deserve to have somebody that loves me. Bull, that is a fixed mindset, and it's a messed up mindset, in my opinion. But if you have a growth mindset, man, you're always learning. It's just like being at my age, at your age, when you started your podcast, my age of getting 2 degrees now.
Yes.
You know, do I need those? Dang, no. Am I ever going to use them? Probably not. But it's something, it's knowledge. It's something I can learn. I'm growing because I'm learning this. And it's a growth mindset to make me better. What I'm learning is making me a better coach, which helps more people. That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so you've always got to be moving forward and moving towards something, or you get stagnant, you get stale.
Yes.
And I don't think any of us really want in that fixed mindset. I think somewhere along the way, somebody told you, you know, like me growing up, you're never going to amount to anything. You know, I heard that so much. You're never going to amount to anything.
This is how she makes a good marriage. That's what I got.
it took me so long to realize that was just bull. You could amount to anything. And I went all the way up to the number two fire chief. Mm-hmm. I had dyslexia growing up.
Me too.
To get a promotion in the fire service, you had to take exams. Mm-hmm. So these guys were reading, we had 5 books on every single exam. These guys would read these books one time and they'd make an 85 to 90 on it. I'd have to read the books 5 times a piece and I would barely make it. But I was determined to make it because I had that mindset that I could be a great officer, that I could lead these people into fires and get them back out alive. And I did. And I made it all the way up to the number two position with dyslexia.
Yes.
And so, you know, this, you just got to have, you got to believe in yourself. And all you guys and gals listening, man, just believe in yourself. You know,
that's
just
what the journey is about. That's what the journey is about. It is about your own self-discovery. And there's this discovery of the wisdom that lies within you, just waiting to be ignited, waiting to be your compass and guide you forward, waiting to ignite your heart so you can feel it. Feel your knowledge. Don't think it. Think it as data. Feel it. And when you feel it, you attach to it. You're driven by it. And you begin to see what is going to serve you along the way while you're in service of others. An analogy I use a great deal, which anybody listening to my shows is probably sick of, but is we're all here to discover our instrument, to learn how to play it. And yes, we can play it as a soloist. However, when we join an orchestra, each one of us in our own strength, and we decide to play in harmony, we transcend. But
so
we
true.
First got to know our own instrument.
So true. So true. You can't play in the orchestra until you figure out how to play your own. But once you do,
yes,
then it opens up the world to you.
Yes,
exactly. I love it. Love it.
So, you know, although this has been kind of a business show, it also could have gone under the title of Choose Positive Living, because it is all about choice. But I mean, you go in and you talk to people about their finances. But again, it's what's their relationship with money. Right?
Yeah.
Are they inviting it? Are they apologizing for it? Are they keeping their books thing? Are they approaching it from a from the wrong angle? And I, when you walk into anybody's service, a store, a shop, or you're talking to someone online that you're going to do business with, they're going to buy you before they buy from you.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said earlier, you walk in and you see a happy employee that really wants to serve you.
Yes.
Those people will come back
Yes.
to that place because of the service and because they feel important. You walk in and there's five people standing behind the counter and not one of them talks to you.
Yep.
Those people are, they're not going to come back.
No.
I
Don't
just
feel
spoke to one
wanted.
of the biggest dealerships, car dealerships in Texas, and I was speaking to their employees. And I said, if you make an impression, you're going to make that sale. And then they're going to go tell their neighbors, and
Yes,
then their neighbors
referrer,
are going to tell
referrer.
somebody. But if you make a bad impression, they're going to go tell 10 neighbors that that place stinks, and they're not going to come back. They're going to go somewhere else. Because people, if they are not happy with service or a job or something that you've done, they will tell 10 times as many people bad things about you as they will good.
And you might be in a job that is just a job right now because you're either going to school or you haven't found your path yet, but still have some pride,
Yes.
self-pride in that job. Look at what that job is there to teach you. It might be a little mundane, it's not necessarily a cup of tea, but it's putting the food on the table and the roof over your head. But what can you learn? Because I hear this all the time of, women that have stayed home raising their children. I'm just a housewife. No, you're so much more than that. You're a
Yeah.
housewife, you're a chauffeur, you're a nurse, you're a nurturer, you're a counselor, right? You're a cook, you're a love goddess, you are everything. Now it's taking all of those skills and honing it into a direction that is something you want to do, that you now, with the children gone, you can far on to do. But don't dismiss all the things you've learned along the way. Again, how many people have I interviewed that were at the six figures, the big house, the top of the CEO? And that cosmic 2x4 came along, either illness or something happened for, and a lot of it with COVID. So many people say, thank you. I finally had time for me to look at what I was doing and realizing I was on a treadmill and I wasn't enjoying it. Now, I still love what I do, but I'm doing it in a totally different way. Or I've walked away from that and I've gone to a passion that's been with me since childhood. Right. So give yourself a pause, give yourself time, learn to nurture yourself to know what it is you want to do and know why you want to do it, whom it is that you're serving. And then you start looking at the money of what do you need and how do you balance it. But if you don't know your why and you haven't got the passion for it, it doesn't matter how much money you throw at it, it's just going to go straight down the sink.
Exactly. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe. I had a friend of mine. He mowed yards. That's what he did for a living. And he told me once, he says, Todd, you save people's lives. You're important. I just mow yards. I'm not important. And I looked at him. I said, you're so full of it.
Yes.
How many employees do you have that you are providing them with a job so they can take care of their families? How many, you have three kids. They don't want for anything. You are providing for your wife and your three kids. And I said, how many of those facilities that you mow are elderly homes, the elderly housing authorities and stuff? He goes, well, that's most of my clients. I said, could they live there if nobody mowed their yard? No, you mow their yard because they're not able to mow it. And they pay you to come, the housing authority pays you to mow their yard. And those people are able to live there, have a nice place that people can come see them because you mow their yard. There is no job, just like I said about my grandfather being a janitor, there is no job that is below any of us. I ran in burning buildings. Well, it was because I probably wasn't smart enough to do anything else. I mean, smart people don't run in burning buildings, but that
But people
doesn't
who
mean,
care do, right?
well,
And that's the
that
thing.
doesn't mean that I was any better or I meant any more, or my job, my profession meant any more than anybody else is out there listening to me. And I tell that all the time to people. Don't put anybody, and you've said this numerous times, don't compare yourself to anybody. Don't put somebody else on a pedestal.
Yes.
You do what makes you, you. You do you. That's all you got to do. Do you. Don't worry about anybody else.
Exactly. And don't assume, right? I just mowed a lawn and off I go to mow another lawn. That lawn, pristine as it is, they're now going to have a picnic on it. It makes the house look good and taken care of, right? Have some pride over the work that you're doing, however it is. Again, what would we do without the janitors, right? What would we do without the people serving our food, unpacking, putting them on the shelves, right? Again, COVID really brought attention to the people that are really in service and that have not been given the attention they need. And we really should step up, not only financially, but also respectfully. Right? We take things for granted and we assume. Assumption is deadly. As same as comparison, it's deadly. If you don't know, ask. If you don't know what cleaning floors in a big school or office building is all about, the responsibility to make sure everything is clean, you know, that document left on the table marked private that they're not looking at it, you know, all of those things. If you look at that, where would we be without them? And there's a job for everyone. And there's no job too small. You know that show about Undercover Boss?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the boss goes in and then he discovers exactly what's going on at the root of his business? And how many bosses have come out completely and utterly shocked? They've been so busy in their ivory tower, maintaining the ivory tower, that they'd forgot to look after the foundation. I'm not about ivory towers. I'm about arms around the world. Let's lock arms around the world. Let's help each other. Let that person who's the janitor got that job, and the person that's got the CEO that's doing all the wheeling and dealing, respect each other and feel proud of each other and themselves. Yeah.
You know, as a firefighter, as an officer, lieutenant, and captain in the stations, I had anywhere from just three guys work for me up to 15, 20 in a station. And I would walk around and we had to clean our stations ourselves. We didn't have people come in. And so if they didn't sweep behind the doors or they didn't sweep around the counters, they didn't do their job because I expected everything to be clean, I'd call them out on it.
Yeah.
And one time a rookie told me, says, man, Cap, said, you know, not a lot of guys like you, but everybody respects you. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to my room and it just broke my heart because I thought everybody liked me. I'm a likable guy. But then I got to thinking, no, because I'm on them. I'm on them all the time. Yeah. Sweep behind the door, sweep under, clean the toilet. You know, let's have a nice looking fire station. And I didn't do it because I cared that my fire station looked clean. What I did was I told them, go clean that office. And if that office didn't get clean, how could I expect them to do what I needed them to on a fire scene and us all stay alive and go home the next day if they wouldn't take pride in the small stuff?
Exactly.
In the big stuff, I couldn't trust them because I couldn't trust them in the small stuff. And that goes back to what you said. Take pride in whatever you do. Give it 100%. It doesn't matter. It's not about what you're doing. It's about what's inside of you, the pride. It goes back to that being authentic, you know, being a person of integrity. Do the right thing all the time. And then you don't have to worry about anything else. If you always have integrity and you always do the right thing, you don't have to worry about what you told Joe over here because you're telling Peter over here the exact same thing because you have integrity. You're not telling all these different stories that you can't keep straight. You know, you clean the office when your officer tells you to clean it because that's what he expects of you. That's something I live by.
That's what we used to do with the restaurant. We've all got a job. Everybody's got to step up. Once everything is done, okay, now we can all crack a beer together at the end of the day, right? And it's like, and everybody knows whether you like the job or not. You know, it's like me with this. I love doing this part of it. I've got all the other part of it that is tedious, right? But it doesn't get out there without me doing that. So, you know, we have to look at some things and that, we prefer not to. But at the same time, it allows us to go and do something else. And I think I've run businesses myself, and it's like when we're working, we're working. Everybody's on board. When the work is over, we can now play. Right? There's plenty of time for that, but no playtime while there's still work.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
equal thing is that smile. You may not feel like smiling today, but put that smile on your face because smiles beget smiles. You're right. And it eventually rubs off on you, and you can't help but smile afterwards. So for people that you are serving, small businesses, solopreneurs, etc., how do they reach you and what are you offering them?
You can go to sanfordcoaching.com. That's my website. Or you can go to Todd Sanford on Facebook. I do videos out at my ranch all the time, and I'll post those. And they're just funny little videos of me out there with the sheep or the cows. And then I relate it to something that has to do with finances or business or something. But if you'll go to Sanford Coaching, Sanford Coaching.com, and you can go down there. I'd love for you to fill out my deal. Get me your email, and I'll be happy. I'll give you a 30-minute free coaching session where we will sit there and I will listen and give you some advice. I'll talk to you and see if coaching might be a fit for you, and we could work something out there. Or, and why I'd really like you to go down to the bottom of my website and fill that out is I have a digital course coming out probably next week. I just got sent the final copy, and I just sent it back, and I'm going to send everybody a free copy of that. That's about $150 free course that if you'll go to my website and fill out the bottom there where I get your email, I will send you that digital course for free. It's my Be Real course. And it goes over in detail. It's a 6-video session. They're only like 5 to 7 minutes long. It's real short, but it goes over Be Real, reliable, empowered, authentic leader. And once you go there and you look at that, if you like that course, then you can always come back and set up a 30-minute free coaching call with me, and we'll talk about going a little deeper. But man, I just have a passion to help people. I love helping them stay focused on what they're doing, achieve great things, and that's what I'm all about.
Which is definitely obvious in the and not just the words you're saying, but in the way that you say it. And this is something that people need to understand. You can say all the right words, but if the tone and the feeling isn't behind it, people aren't going to hear it. So the tone sets where the heart is in it, right? And the words may be great. You learn these words from other people, you know how to say it, but again, coming from the heart, enriched by the tone, enriched by the heart, then people feel it, and when they feel it, they listen to it and they want to do more about it. So it's always having that
Hey,
passion out there.
heck, I'm just an old country boy. I don't have any fancy words and don't really know what to say. I just know what comes out of my heart comes out of my mouth. So that's
Exactly.
how
And that's
it
always that's what we
is.
call the wisdom truth, right? Because it's the compass has designed that. I'm the same way. Because you're feeling, you're listening, but feeling. You're feeling what you're listening, and then you know what it is that needs in that moment, right? And that's why it's so important to listen, because in that way you know how to respond. And it isn't one size fits all, right? We need to
No,
adapt.
it's not. And one thing I'd like to say, just to, people are like, why would I need a coach? Do you realize that the biggest, most successful people in the world, every one of them has a coach that
Coaches have
holds them
coach.
accountable, that
Yes.
holds them,
Yes.
that makes sure they follow through on what they want to do? I mean, billionaires, millionaires, all of the Shark Tank people. I know their coaches. I've worked with those folks' coaches. So I know what they're telling them and what they're doing. And so why would you not want a coach? Why would you not want a personal cheerleader that has run businesses, that has been successful, that has a passion to want to help you get to where you want to be? Each year, are you growing? And if you don't get somebody to help you this year, where are you going to be at this time next year? I bet you're going to be in the exact same place. But if you want to go somewhere different, man, let's go, because the sky's the limit as far as I'm concerned,
Well,
man.
the
You
universe is the limit, right?
exactly. Nobody can hold us down if you want to go. And
No.
I'm a go-getter.
Right. And you know, it's feeling where we need to go, and you know, keeping it real, all the acronyms there, it is all really being authentically you, doing what you love to do in service of others. That's the bottom line of it is. And if you haven't found that yet, then you know, there are some, you know, obviously you're offering some tips and wisdoms of how to ignite that. So basically, I feel that your coaching is more about them becoming the leader in their own lives, and in that then becomes the clarity of what the money means to them. Because when you actually understand what money means to you, and then people say, what do you mean? It's just money. No, money means to you. Are you wanting to have stacks of money in the bank account because you're fearing, you know, something going on? Are you wanting to have stacks of money in the bank account to show everybody you've got it in there? Are you wanting it to have there so you can see the growth? What's your relationship with your money? Because it very often speaks to what you feel is your worth.
Yeah. And that's one thing. If you go to my website, sanfordcoaching.com, you'll see, you know, we've got our finance coaching, but that's why I went to Kingdom Builders and changed and got more, you know, we've been doing this for a year, going to the top coaches in the world, hiring them to help me so I can help be the best coach for you. And so, you know, it's not just the finances, it's the mindset, the whole gamut. We do all kinds of stuff, like I said, and we've got a group of coaches that work for us that can help you just about do anything, from business to personal to finances. So yeah, everything we do focuses on the individual. Even the businesses we help focuses on the individuals. Now we do group trainings and group coaching, but we always want to focus on those individuals because that's what life's all about. You got to take care of the individuals. And then exactly like you said about the orchestra, if you take care of each individual and everybody learns their part and where they're, you know, their lane, you bring them all together and man, you're playing wonderful, beautiful music.
Exactly. And that's what we want to hear, music to our ears, right? Thank you so much for being with us here today, Todd. And you know, for redirecting your life, you know, again, another example. We're never too old to start something new. All it is a new chapter in a new format. And we
That's
take
right.
all that we've learned, all the expertise, along with the passion and what we feel is needed out there, and apply. Listen, learn,
Yeah.
and
I
apply.
always tell everybody I got enough time to sleep when I'm dead. I'll worry about it then. I've got things to do now. But no, thank you so much for having me. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I love talking to you. I think you're wonderful. And man, I thank you for hosting me today. It's been a true joy for me. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. And you know, I think this is definitely, ladies, if you hear this podcast, you know, share it with your men, share it with your brothers, share it with your fathers, your uncles, you know, where we talked about at the beginning there. So many men do not have somebody they feel is in their court. That is that ear. They feel alone. And so just share this out. You know, remember what I talk about podcast groups, people listening to podcasts and coming together over a meal and then talking about what they learned from it. And then you expand that knowledge out. So listen with your spouse, right? Because this is going to benefit everybody. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life, and we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted, and we do hope that you enjoy the next show.